He's going to try and get one more shot off from that corner. The buzzer. Oh, he puts it in.
Mark Messier. Do you believe it? Do you believe it?
What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to TKM Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Tracewell. Last time we were on here, we talked about West Virginia. We talked about opening up to week two, talked about the games, the matchups, some exciting matchups also from week one and what I thought from week one. Well, now we are here going into week four this upcoming week, but week three was a thriller. And you talk about a thriller now. There was a lot of games that were surprising. There were a lot of teams that, a lot of comebacks, really. I mean, think about it. Week three was full of comebacks, but week three also brought a ton of light, shed a lot of light for a lot of different programs and a lot of different teams. And I'm going to run through it and just talk about what I saw out of week three, the improvements from week two, and then we'll jump into talking about week four. Because week four, we do have some great matchups this week, and they are super exciting. But let's start out with what happened in week three. Well, so during the we had a couple big time games, and we had game day. Game day went to Knoxville, Rocky Top. Went down to Rocky Top for Tennessee and Knoxville, Tennessee and Georgia. We all knew this big time matchup. It's a big-time matchup last year. It's a big-time matchup this year. Georgia, question marks. We've had question marks about Gunner all offseason. We wanted to see what he could do for Tennessee. Nico, losing him, we thought that it might affect Tennessee. However, it has not affected Tennessee one bit. Tennessee has gotten better. Aguilar is a good quarterback. And to take on this heavy toll to go up against Georgia – and we all know how good Georgia's defense has been in the past. Their questions have been about the offense. Since Carson Beck departed from Miami, would this offense be able to produce as well as they have in the past? We haven't really seen that real spark out of Georgia's offense since Brock Bowers has entered the NFL. And we wanted to see more of that. We wanted to see what Georgia is going to bring to the table now that there is no Carson Beck down. There is no ultra superstar talented guy. Zachariah Branch is a good receiver, came from USC, but still we have question marks all about Georgia's offense. Georgia's defense, typically you don't have question marks about. Tennessee offense has been solid, and they proved that in the first couple weeks. Their defense, Tennessee's defense has always been, I'd always say it's kind of like a mid defense. Good enough to help win them football games, but not a primary source of their offense. What we learned in the Georgia-Tennessee game, well, we learned that Tennessee ran up the numbers on Georgia throughout the first quarter. It looked like it was going to be a blowout. And then Gunnar Stockton came alive. The guy we've been waiting for, the expectations, everything we needed from him, he proved. 304 yards, 23 of 31, and 2 touchdowns. That's exactly what we're looking for in a big-time matchup. Can Georgia win when it matters most? Can they win the big-time games? Is Gunnar Stockton the guy for this offense? And winning against Tennessee in this moment, even though Tennessee's defense helped them out with 2 interceptions, winning against Tennessee benefited them, and winning against Tennessee is a big time win for him, but it proves the point that Gunnar Stockton is the quarterback for Georgia. He is their future quarterback. He is the guy that can help get them to a national championship. Kirby Smart is still a top 3 coach in all of college football. They are still here. And that is what made the difference today. That is what made difference on Saturday, is Georgia having to prove that. They had to prove that they're still here, because we're taking a lot of the teams, and even though Georgia's highly ranked, we were writing them off for a couple of the teams in a Texas, in Ohio State. And what they proved to anybody is they're just as good as anybody, and they can beat anybody on the level, on this level. And Gunnar Stockton proved he's the starting quarterback. That's what we wanted to see out of Georgia. That's what we had to see against Tennessee. Thrilling, absolutely thrilling game. Georgia's going to play Alabama in week 5. They're off on week 4, but crazy matchup. crazy matchup for game day and everything. Another big time matchup was Texas A&M and Notre Dame. We have questions about Carr. Carr is a young quarterback from for Notre Dame, but we've also wondered how Texas A&M, since ever letting go Jimbo, if they're ever going to bounce back. And this was their game. Texas A&M, this was the game they proved themselves. Just in the same light as Tennessee and Georgia, Notre Dame ran up the score into the second quarter. And then Texas A&M came alive. Their quarterback, Reed, 17 of 37, two touchdowns and one interception for 360 yards. Craver, the receiver, seven receptions for 207 yards and one touchdown. Texas A&M, when it mattered the most, got the job done. They got the job done. Notre Dame is, I still think they're defensively a good football team. Running game, they're a very good run team. Quarterback is inexperienced and young, and that's just, it's the unfortunate fact of coming off a national championship with a guy like Riley Leonard. It's the unfortunate fact. Texas A&M, they're building their swagger back. They're building that Texas A&M that we saw back when they had Johnny Manziel. That's the Texas A&M we want to see. We want to see a school that came to the SEC, built swagger, and then went on and produced and won football games. And that's what we want to see out of Texas A&M. And them starting out the season 3-0, they've looked impressive so far. But the first two wins were against small schools. This was their test. This was, can they beat a top 10 school? Now they got to play Auburn going into week five, and which is going to be another competitive matchup. But Texas A&M desperately needed this win to reprove themselves a whole bunch. However, I will say defense really wasn't a factor throughout a game. Like they helped, they got the stops they needed to win the game, but just the same thing as Georgia and Tennessee. No defense was being played. Very minimal defense. Both teams, Texas A&M had 488 yards, 440 yards for Notre Dame, 128 rushing yards for Texas A&M, 147 for Notre Dame. There's no defense being played. It's all offense. But got a defense to stop when it mattered the most. Help them win the football game. It's what matters. Get it done when it matters the most. And Texas A&M now has to face Auburn in week five. Can they shock everybody? Can they make a run in the SEC West? We'll see. A lot of teams they got to play. A lot of competitive matchups. But to beat Notre Dame, that's an impressive win. And that's one they really, really needed. Clemson and Georgia Tech. Is this better Georgia Tech or collapse Clemson? For a team that is, to me, was supposed to be a national championship contender, to have the supposedly the best quarterback in all of college football and Kate Klubnik on their team. Dabo Swinney to make a run at it once again. They have looked awful. So they've looked horrible. I just, for a team supposed to be a national contender, I have nothing impressive. LSU beat them. Georgia Tech beat them. Now we got to give Haynes King all the love in the world, 211 yards passing and 103 yards rushing. The guy is Georgia Tech. He is Georgia Tech. They win football game. They beat Colorado because of him. They're beating other teams because of him. He gets the job done. But for a Dabo Swinney team that had so much potential this year, I'm not impressed. And I expect a lot more. Even though they outproduced Georgia Tech on the offense, they just don't get it done. They can't finish the game. And that's what's killing Georgia Tech. That's what's killing Clemson at the end of the day. Georgia Tech, 3-0. It's a great start for them. It's a great starting season for them. After a kind of a down year last year, they didn't do so well. Now they play Temple coming up this weekend, and they expect to win. But they're ranked. And Georgia Tech has a lot to prove. You know what I mean? They are a team that needs to reevaluate themselves in the rankings. They need to jump back in the rankings, you know, get some confidence back. Haynes King's done a great job at helping them do that. But after a down year last year, this is definitely something they needed. Clemson, Dabo's in trouble. That's my personal opinion. Dabo Swinney is in trouble. And he's going to have to do something now, or it's going to become a nightmare. Ole Miss and Arkansas. I mean, I tell you, a lot of close games, some comeback games we're talking about. Ole Miss and Arkansas. Arkansas's got to, let me tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, Arkansas has a respectable football program for the first time, and I remember. They had 29 first downs. They had more first downs than Ole Miss. They had, they had 526 yards of offense, 305 yards passing, 220 rushing yards. Now, their defense couldn't stop anybody, but this offense, dude, Arkansas is special on the offensive side of the football. To me, they can keep up with anybody. 305 yards from Green, 115 rushing yards from Green. Now, Ole Miss put up Chambliss has put up 353 yards and 62 rushing yards and two touchdowns. This was an offensive showdown. A Lane Kiffin game is always an offensive showdown. But Arkansas, to me, is more of the story than Ole Miss. Ole Miss is supposed to win this football game. They were supposed to win this football game. They were favored by 4.5 to win the football game. Arkansas has not been a team that we have looked at and go, yo, that's an electric offense. And now that's what we're doing. We're looking at Arkansas going, dude, these guys are good. They got an offense, and they're scary. And that's what makes it interesting. Now they play Memphis coming up this week in week 4. I expect the win. I expect them to be able to beat Memphis with that offense. But they got Notre Dame in week 5. That's a home game. You imagine if they beat Notre Dame? Arkansas make some noise for themselves, beat the number 24 team in the country and possibly be ranked? Arkansas, if they can get a defense, be a hard team to beat, especially putting up that number of offense. Wow. I mean, very, very. And, you know, congratulations. Lane Kiffin has had a heck of a start to his season. Getting it done in a close one against Kentucky. Beating out Arkansas. Lane Kiffin, just like Texas A&M, could make a run for the SEC West. I think LSU right now is promptly in the running for that and is probably going to win it, the SEC West. But to me, Ole Miss can make a run, just like Texas A&M. SEC's building. Arkansas, though, I'd love to see this program grow. And I was so impressed what I saw against Ole Miss. They deserve all the love in the world for that. I hope I see a lot more. Vanderbilt in South Carolina. Lenore Sellers gets hurt. That pretty much does it. Sellers is out. South Carolina's pretty much out of the football game. But I will say this for the most part. Vanderbilt, respectable football program. I look at a team like Vanderbilt, and I'm not being mean, been a laughing stock in the SEC football for years. In the last 2 years, they've produced. I'm impressed with what I've seen out of Vanderbilt in these last two seasons. Starting the season and the season before, they go out there and they get the job done. They are a competitive football team. And while they might not be the most talented team in the SEC, they don't back down. And that's what I like from Vanderbilt. They don't back down. This coach, they don't back down. Vanderbilt needs this. They need a respectable football program. They needed someone to build them. And this is the time. And they are finally building their football program. Key things that they do, they run the football very effectively. Possession of the football. They control the clock. They control the pace of the game. They control how long they have it. Helps them win them football games. And it's working. And we have to give Vanderbilt respect, regardless of Lenore Sellers being out. We have to give Vanderbilt respect because their football program has been a disaster for so many years. And for last year and the beginning of this year, they're winning football games. And that's what matters. So I was impressed and wanted to highlight Vanderbilt's win over South Carolina. Florida and LSU. Big time SEC matchup. First couple things I'd like to highlight. Everybody giving Brian Kelly a hard time for how he answered the questions in the media about third down running. Like the first question. Dude, that's not like a question you ask. You don't ask that question right after a win. They won an SEC win. I'm not saying Florida is all that impressive. But they won a win. They won the football game. You could talk about the negatives later. How about talk about the positives? Ask a question about the positives. Why does the media start with a negative? If you lose the football game, yeah, start with negatives. There's a lot of negatives to be addressed. In losing, especially, you need to be talking about the negatives. But in winning, you need to talk about the positives and then go, hey, coach, you say it a couple days later when they, you know, you re-interview, hey, just wanted to highlight on third downs, on rushing the football. Is there any improvement you're looking for? You know, how do you plan to maybe help improve the run for the future against a tougher SEC opponent? You know what I mean? Don't ask it right after you win. That's like a question you ask a couple days later or next week. You get what I'm saying there? Got to highlight the wins, and then you can talk about the negatives and the stuff you have to do later. But I get how he feels. Big time win for his team. They're beat Clemson early on in the year. LSU, as far as I see, they are not the most explosive football team in the SEC. You look at teams like Ole Miss, look at teams like Tennessee, look at teams like Arkansas. Offensively, they're explosive, but they have a defense. They have a defense, and that's what makes LSU different. Their defense is tough. They're physical. They got a big O-line, a big D-line. They can play in the trenches, and that is what matters for LSU. Now, highlight on Florida. DJ Lagway was horrible. He's horrible. I mean, you can get away with a couple interceptions in football games. Three, four interceptions. You can get away with about three interceptions, right? Mistakes are made, especially during a hard defensive football game. DJ Lagway was throwing it into triple coverage, and there was absolutely no way the receiver could make the catch. He overthrew people. It was just a complete catastrophe for DJ Lagway. And Billy Napier has something to do with that too. The Florida team, they didn't get any sacks. They just looked unprepared for this football game. They weren't ready. That's a Billy Napier problem, that they're not ready. But DJ Lagway, five interceptions in a football game. You're bound to lose every time. You're bound to lose every single time if you're getting five interceptions in a football game. It's just, regardless of how we look at it, it's unacceptable. You're not going to win football games if you're getting five interceptions. And Billy Napier, your team they weren't ready. They were ready for LSU. So, was not impressed with Florida at all. Thought it would be a more competitive football game, but it wasn't. LSU, to me, outmatched them. They're outclassed. And just how that game looks for me. I hope for better for Florida, but it is what it is for right now. LSU, good win. Miami and South Florida. Now, South Florida beat Florida. And everybody went, South Florida looks like a good football team. And they do have a good football team. Nothing on the U. The U, man, they ran them down. The U ran them down. I mean, just Carson Beck, 340 yards and three touchdowns. 23 of 28. He threw two picks. Fletcher, 120 yards rushing. To me, Miami, they keep this up. They're back. Miami is special. I mean, absolutely crazy. from Miami. I'm so impressed with how they've played throughout the beginning of the season. And Carson Beck, $4 million to go to Miami, looked to me just not impressed out of Georgia. I just wasn't impressed with Miami at all. I wasn't impressed with Carson Beck out of Georgia. Didn't think he would produce this well. Didn't even think he would be a top two candidate in the ACC. And he, right now, looks like the best quarterback in the ACC. And possibly one of the top three in the country. Carson Beck has looked absolutely electric. Miami's defense looks good. If they had this defense last year, Cam Ward and them could have went to the national championship. Cam Ward would have never had to save the day. Miami is the real deal. And I believe if they continue on this path, they could be back. Now, they play Florida this week. So, then they play Florida State October 4th. That'll be a good football game. That'll be very, very impressive. But Miami has impressed me out the gates. To blow out South Florida like that, I didn't think that would happen. And they did. Miami, a good football team. Now, my favorite game of the week would be the West Virginia Mountaineers in the backyard brawl against Pitt. I was at the game. You talk about a game that you could tell meant the world to both of these teams, but to West Virginia. West Virginia goes up 14-3. Pitt builds back and it becomes 24-14. With 9 minutes and 23 seconds remaining. And you just think about it and you go, it's over. You know what I mean? It's over. West Virginia can't win. They're down 10 points. It seemed at that point because you had Henderson playing, you had Fox playing, Nico wasn't playing good. The team didn't. It just felt like it was over. It felt like we weren't going to be able to come back. And then West Virginia kicks a field goal. And Nico Markiel, when it mattered the most, came back in and drove us down the field and tied us the football game. And we went to overtime. We run the football in. Ty Edwards runs the football in. And this team and the stadium come alive. The defense come alive. West Virginia's defense, they had Big 12 defense of the week. Their defense was great throughout this football game. I believe really shut down a Pitt offense that was pretty electric throughout the season. West Virginia only held Pitt to 46 rushing yards. West Virginia had 174 rushing yards themselves. This game was competitive. It was fun. And for Rich Rodriguez to be in that stadium, to be in that moment, and for him to, you know, make the comments, we got a lot of grit. There's hardworking people that never quit. West Virginia Mountaineers never quit. And just to see the life in the stadium. The last time I seen West Virginia and felt like that. The excitement of being in the stadium, but not only being in the stadium, being around. It's been since 2018, when West Virginia played Texas and Gary Jennings caught it in the end zone. It's been a long time since I felt real life in the team. And man, you talk about something special. It gives me chills being a Mountaineers fan to know that for one night against our biggest opponent and most important opponent, to beat them in overtime on 9-13 when Pitt beat us 13. Last time Rich Rod coached against Pitt, coached Mountaineers against Pitt, he lost 13-9 and we won on 9-13 in overtime in that type of fashion with the stadium that electric magnitude and how much it meant. Absolutely crazy. It just blows my mind. So, West Virginia plays Kansas this upcoming week. I hope West Virginia wins the game, but I'm still in chills of how that game ended up last week. It was truly something remarkable to watch. And yeah, I don't know the next time I'm going to see something that cool, because we don't play Pitt for like till 2029 again. But man, what a game. Going into week four, Utah and Texas Tech. This is going to be the decider game. I thought that Iowa State was the big time dog, except they struggled against Arkansas State. Texas Tech and Utah are the big dogs in the Big 12. We get them starting at noon. I've got Texas A&M winning. We got a stellar offense. Love their offense. But it's going to be a competitive game all the way down the wire. This will decide who is the best team in the Big 12. Auburn and Oklahoma. Oklahoma, John Mateer, this is your year to have a welcome back to the SEC. To have your first, well, welcome to the SEC. John Mateer is a heck of a quarterback. I believe this is the game to start it out against Auburn, who is supposed to have a comeback year. So I'm going to take Oklahoma over Auburn, but I hope to be a competitive game. Michigan and Nebraska. Nebraska putting up points. This is their first real opponent of the year. They played a lot of bunch of small schools. Michigan is nobody to sleep on. We all know what Michigan's defense made of. This is also a big-time game for Bryce Underwood. Got to get your get back after Oklahoma. You had a small school last week. Get your get back this week. Get back in the game. I'm taking Nebraska over Michigan just because I don't think Michigan could put up the numbers that Nebraska can. However, do expect to be a competitive football game. Missouri and South Carolina. Missouri has started the year out great. This is a bounce-back game for South Carolina. South Carolina will bounce back in the rankings. Lenore Sellers will be back. It will be a competitive football game. Give me South Carolina over Missouri. Florida and Miami, we've already talked about it. Miami's, I think the U is back. I think the U could potentially win the national championship. Give me Miami over Florida. We have Illinois and Indiana. I think Illinois is a real threat in the Big Ten, and I don't think they're getting enough credit for it. Their defense is electric. Their offense, as Luke Altmaier has grown, give me Illinois over Indiana just because of their defense. Their defense is real, and I think they can get a big-time win on Saturday. And then USC and Michigan State. USC, Lincoln Riley's slowly creeping into the top 25, and nobody's paying attention to him. That's how he does. That's how he rolls, just slowly getting into the top 25. But Oregon State plays Oregon. We all expect a win from Oregon. And then West Virginia, my Mountaineers, play Kansas. Going to be a competitive matchup. Kansas is nobody to sleep with on the offense. Hoping West Virginia can put up some good numbers, and let's get out of Kansas with a win and get back to Morgantown so we prepare for Utah. Anyway, hope you all enjoyed college football. Wanted to talk about what was going on, the excitement's been going on, and just the utter chills I've got going through me about how special that Mountaineer win was. How cool is that? Anyway, hope you all enjoy college football week four, and I'll see y'all later.